Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. We are here at episode 77, and with me today is Chad Ashley. How you been doing?
Doing good, doing good.
And Chris Schmidt. What's up, man?
Not too bad.
Good to see you guys. We just saw each other less than a week ago at Half Res, and man, that's a fun week, but it's an exhausting week. I'm glad to be home. I'm nice and relaxed. Got my hangovers taken care of. How are you guys feeling after Half Res?
Well rested.
Yeah, recovered from the actual day.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it. I just wanted to, before we get started, thank everybody for, including you guys, for putting on Half Res, for all the sponsors, for sponsoring everybody that came to Half Res this year. It's always one of my favorite nights, and I just really appreciate it. For those of you out there that are like, hey, are you guys releasing the videos, which we get questions all the time. Are you releasing the presentations? We are doing that. We're not quite sure when yet, but we got all the video. I just looked at the video yesterday. It's looking good. We got some good audio. So we're going to be editing that up and putting all that stuff out soon.
Is it going to be soon? Last time you promised soon, and it wasn't until like 8 months later.
Yeah. So let me define soon.
Damn, I think he just called you out, son.
Well, I don't want us to be getting like people to have wrong expectation.
Well, Devin Co had a presentation about design that was really interesting. She kind of talked about her past and getting into the industry. And then Chris Doe and I sat on stage and we did kind of a Q&A, and it got deep, man. There was some really good questions from the audience about, how to charge more, how to find better clients, all that kind of stuff. And Chris has been doing a great job over on his channel, but it was really cool to have them at Half Res, and very, very cool. So yeah, look for more. All right. What's a better word in the future? I won't say soon anymore, Chris.
Next Half Res.
Before the next Half Res, we will put out these videos.
It's always a super crazy night. It was a lot of fun, a lot of craziness. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. We got some great ideas for next year, some things we might shake up a little bit.
Yeah. And the big thing for me, I'm on stage emceeing this thing, and it's so great to me, and it's also kind of a bummer to me, all the people that show up, because I never have enough time to like hug and chat with everybody there that I want to, including you guys. Like I'm in town, we're hanging out, and I feel like it's just never enough time to see everybody. So if for anybody out there that I only like gave one hug to, and you guys know, hey, if Nick's in the room and I only get one hug, something's wrong. Well, nothing's wrong. I was just too busy. I'm so sorry. I feel bad. We need like a second one with all the locals that I could like give hugs to. That's it. I know what I'm going
to
do.
A lot of people to see.
I'm just going to get to more of these local Chicago C4D meetups so I can hang out with those, with that crew as well.
That would do it.
Oh man, what a night. With Half Res, behind us, it's always a lot of work to get that show going, to get it all up and running. What are you guys up to? How are you guys feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good. Yeah, we got a lot going on. A lot of things in development right now. Probably a little bit too early to really talk about, but yeah, I'm excited, man. We got some. It's going to be a busy couple months leading into winter, where we all go into hibernation.
Hibernation. That reminds me. It's not quite scheduled yet, but if you're interested in some of our upcoming live shows, which we'll be doing many more live shows on our Twitch channel, big shout out again, thanks to Twitch crew for getting our name back. If you're not subscribed over there, we have Grayscale Gorilla. It's twitch.tv/GrayscaleGorilla, and we'll be doing plenty more live shows over the next few months. And we have a schedule that will be coming out in the next week or so as well. So make sure you head over there. And we're also going to keep track of all of our live stuff on grayscalegorilla.com/live. And I know there's one thing that we could talk about that Chad will be doing in the next less than a few weeks, maybe less than a month. What do you want to tease that at all, Chad?
It's got to be way. Yeah, I got to get it out of my system. Got to expunge it. So I just literally, was it yesterday? Sometime yesterday, I think, after IBC happened and Redshift had a booth at IBC, or had a partner booth at the Maxon booth at IBC. And if you were there, then you may have seen some of our scene files being used as a demo. And so, yeah, I've been a beta tester on Redshift for, God, over a year now. And I haven't been able to do any tutorials on it because the UI has been changing. Things have been kind of in flux. And now I think it's to the point where Panos and Costas and Nicholas and all the awesome Rob and everybody over at Redshift are like, okay, I think it's to a point now where it's not going to change too drastically, so you can start to show people stuff online. And so if you've hit me up and said, why aren't you showing anything on Redshift? It was because I couldn't before. Now I can. So the idea is that I want to do, if you haven't checked out when I kind of introduced Chris and Nick to Arnold, first of all, go check that out because it was fun. It was basically me saying, hey, check out Arnold. And, you know, we recorded it and people could watch it and follow along. So I want to do a similar thing and we're going to schedule that out. So you're going to want to go to where Nick said, grayscalegorilla.com/live. And we're going to schedule out kind of an introduction stream where I'm just going to say, here's the basic intro. Here, shake hands with Mr. Redshift or Mrs. Redshift, however you want to look at it, and get to know it. Is it right for you? Is it not? Maybe you're already using it and you want a little tip. You know, we're going to try to take care of you.
Yeah, and it'll be live too. So you'll be doing some Q&A and all that stuff. So look for more, like Chad said, grayscalegorilla.com/live. But one of the easiest ways to do it is to make sure you're following us on YouTube and Twitch. Most times we go live on Twitch. Sometimes we go live on YouTube. But if you follow us and not only do that, but also turn on notifications, it'll like ping you. If you're busy and you don't want notifications pinging you, like I told you to turn those off a couple weeks ago, then newsletter is probably the best way to follow us. And that way it's on your schedule. And we'll try to remind you of when all this stuff's coming up. But we've had so many people ask us about Redshift training and tutorials and all that stuff. And I know Chad's excited to show you guys. He's been using it a lot recently as well. So if Redshift's your thing, definitely look for that very soon. And for other live shows, I have some live shows planned. I know Chris has some planned. So we're definitely getting that schedule out. We're excited to get back on screen. You know what I mean? It's been busy.
We've been putting a whole list of ideas together. It's a pretty long list too. I'm looking at them. We've got a bunch of stuff on there.
Oh yeah. Got some good ones. And as always, we're always looking for ideas, not only for, tutorials and tips and things to show you guys in Cinema 4D and other motion design platforms, but also for the podcast. So if you're listening, you're like, hey guys, I really wish you'd talk about this. Or maybe you're having a question about a client work or freelancing or some part of your career that we could maybe help with. Don't be afraid to drop it in the comments here on YouTube or on iTunes. We're always looking for that. So, all right. With that, any other news? Anything else? Render Wars happened in the last week?
Render Wars was news. IBC happened. And for those of you who were kind of following some of the streams, I saw some pretty good ones. I'll give a shout out to one that I really dug, and maybe you can try to dig it up once they post them online. Tom Haig did a really cool talk about cinematic, being more cinematic with Cinema 4D and with 3D in general, and how to approach camera moves in a real kind of tasteful way that feels appropriate, which I really appreciated. So I was really into that one. He did a great job. And then, of course, Mario, my man, out there showing XP4, which everybody was really stoked on. So check that stuff out when it comes out. XP4 is looking really cool. And, of course, Mario is – I'm a huge fan of his. He does amazing work with X Particles. So I think that people are kind of coming down from that. There's really not much more else that I can think of. Am I missing anything?
It's the fall lull. Actually, there's just been so much that's happening. I think it's everyone's just getting busy. Back to working, man. Put your head down. You got new version of Cinema. You got all these new software coming out. It's time to put your hoodie on. It's that time of year. And grab your warm coffee. Maybe it's time to transition from the cold to the warm coffee. And then, start working.
The question on everybody's mind right now, Nick, I think is this, and it's for you. It's a question for you. are you going to get the iPhone 10?
Great question. I watched the keynote when I got home from Half Res, snuggled in the couch there, grabbed a whiskey, watched the keynote. I don't know if the 10 is quite right for me. I have the 7 Plus right now and love the form of it. I got used to the big form factor. I got used to how everything works and the home button and all the weird stuff about it makes me want to wait.
And you love that pop socket, man. You're all about that pop socket.
I love my pop socket. So for me, this goes for more than just Apple products, but it's hard for me to be the first to get something brand new, especially for something that I use every day, and as much as my phone. And same with computers too. Like whenever there's a brand new thing that's bleeding edge, it's hard for me to jump on that and also pretend I'm going to get some real work done. So this goes for almost all technology. If it's going to be a part, such a big part of my world, I always wait for what's a nice way to say dingalings to buy the new first version and make all the mistakes and go through all the stuff.
I think you mean early adopters.
Oh, that's the nice way to say dingalings. Yeah. So wait for all the early adopters to get to, like, you know, beta test it and all that stuff. And in parts of my life, I was the early adopter. I did buy the new stuff. I was the dingaling. But I also didn't rely on all this hardware to, like, do my work and do business and like make sure my life runs. This phone has my calendar with me and the company and my wife. This phone has everything that goes through this phone could be highly, highly, highly important. And so for me, at least for first looks, I'm going to wait. Now, sometimes that means I wait 6 months and I see how it goes. And then I go buy one because I realize it's none of it's founded. Everybody loves it. And I just need to go get it. But it's rare for me to be day one. And Chad, I know that I know that you don't even have to answer. You're definitely switching from your Google Pixel.
Absolutely. Absolutely, dude. You have it so nailed.
Do you have a theory, though? Because I feel like, okay, what computer or like what hardware you use could be like a little bit superficial because it's just changes all the time. But do you have like a way of thinking about this stuff of like why you would change or why you would upgrade?
Well, I'm a phone nerd, and so I pay attention to all of them, you know. So I watched the keynote, and not as like a troll, like some sort of like Pixel troll, but I was genuinely kind of like, well, if they really innovate or do something crazy, I might consider switching back or going back, because I was on iPhone for a long time. But for me, I guess, like, and I don't want this to become the discussion because we have a totally awesome topic, but I look at, if you take a step back and like look at the ecosystems of the phones, and I'm talking mostly, I'll just talk about iPhone and the pure Google experience. And they're totally fundamentally different in terms of how they want you to relate to other people and the phone itself. I, for one, and feel free to argue with me in the comments. That's great. I love it. To me, the iPhone was like really this narcissistic experience where it's all about make them feel important, like putting a wacky face on them and all this, like, you know, it's all about that. Whereas I feel like the other experience that you get with like the Google Assistant and whatnot is all about how do I make life easier for the user. So it's like this fundamentally different mentality. Like I felt like the keynote for the Apple was all about narcissism and making the user feel more important than they really are, or it, you know.
Man, you really reading into this. I like it.
I know.
You guys are both being pretty brutal.
No, but I think like I'm looking at it and I'm like, because I have teenage girls and you know they're on phones, and I'm not going to say any more about that. But I look at that keynote with like the face tracking, and I'm like, they couldn't be marketing to kids more with this. And it just bugged me because I was like, it's $1,000. Like, that's insane. No kid should be walking around. My first car cost less than $1,000. It was a piece of crap, but I mean, hey, it was a car. But
you're
I don't know.
Up on just, this price, anyway. Though. You're hung up. These phones have been $500 to $1,000. They've been $500 to $1,000 forever. Like, and all of a sudden it's got four numbers and you're scared. Like, they've been really expensive.
You gotta buy four of these things for your whole family,
you
man.
Don't have this to buy anything. Expensive. That's how this works. That's true. Like, you can buy That's whatever true. You like. That's hey, what's wait. Really cool.
I don't have to.
Yeah, it's what's really nice about all this stuff. Here's my take on almost all technology, and this is why I can't have a technology podcast. What's your favorite color, Chris?
Teal.
Chad.
Black. It's not a color, but
all right. There you go. Different strokes, man. Hey, you know what? Mike, my buddy Chad always says, not you, Chad, my other buddy Chad. There are 31 flavors for a reason, my friend.
How come there's not? Isn't that weird? Like, why 31?
That is weird. They probably, like, it's not even divisible very evenly. Like, how do they stack them in the, there's always an empty slot.
There's a logistics problem there.
Yeah, but it works really well with their logo, so they just stuck with it.
It is a pretty logo. Yeah, listen, I like that there's different things to get, so.
I want to throw out there that I thought it was Apple's best presentation in years.
I will totally, yeah, I will agree with that.
It was a pretty awesome. Smooth presentation. I wasn't, in past years, it's been awkward where I have to not look. I have to be like, I have to not watch while they're making terrible, terrible jokes. Like this one was a little more somber, really, a little bit more focused. It was a just better presentation overall.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great if they could all just not make those kind of cringy, like, hey, look, we're relating to you.
Do you know what is?
This one did a good job.
It's super bizarre. I don't know why it stood out to me so much this time watching the keynote. I watched half of it live and the other half after I got back from lunch. But this is such a bizarre thing that we are watching a company essentially talk to their shareholders. That's what they're doing. They just happen to present it to the rest of us. All companies are doing this, but it's so weird when you go there and they're just like, listen, we went from number two to number one in watch category. We went from this to this. As a customer, this information effectively means nothing. So instead of it, so I was getting like this weird double vibe of, it feels like we're looking into the meeting of like a CEO talking to shareholders and maybe some, you know, upper development level people. So it's kind of, they're giving us like this special extra bonus. Like, hey, we're getting involved. Like they love that people love their ecosystem and the stuff they make and have a passion for this. So it's cool we get to see that. And then the parts that feel weird, it's like, you know what? They didn't have to be showing us any of this. They could just do a press release and release those commercials. And that's the way they expose us to their stuff, just like everybody else does. So it's kind of neat that they've been doing this thing for so long.
Yeah, that is kind of weird when you think about, like, most other companies wouldn't have a press release and a whole event. They would just be like,
they would
have a press release, but they just wouldn't have like this
event. If they had the following and they had the amount of people that watch that every year, they would. Like they would do a better job, hopefully, right? Like, and the reason the other ones aren't as good and all that stuff is because millions of people aren't watching live. Like, that's what's really great. Like, it's like a sports team or something. Like, why do we care who got traded, and why do we care like all the business side of this sports team, and why do we care like the draft and all this stuff? Like, it's because the show is the show. Like, it is out there to be a show. And just like the NFL is like, well, this is kind of this like tribal thing between cities, but everyone's interested. So we're going to show you as much as we can show. And now Apple's realizing, they're not realizing, they've always been great with this. If we show this under a good light, they could talk to their shareholders and their customers at the same time. I think that's brilliant. That's awesome. Like, what a great thing. So anyway, I still love Apple. If you're keeping track, but I am getting much closer to my PC. I will share details once that happens. I feel like I tease it every week. This is a 5-year transition. I just want to share with you where I am in the mix.
This is news to me, folks. I have not heard this. You're hearing this the same time we are.
No, it's going to happen. If it's not a new renderer, it's going to be. It's going to be Battlegrounds. That's another conversation.
Can we use the company card to buy Nick a Christmas PC and just send it to him?
I think that would be fantastic. Only if we can record his reaction.
Do you think that would work? Would he start using it?
No. Because if I buy a PC, it's got to come with like You know, like when you get your grandma an iPhone or something, and then you like, okay, you have to go to the class and we have to like show you how to use it. And we have to like warm you up to this idea that we want to FaceTime with grandma or something. You know what I mean? Like you got to warm me up. If you drop off the hardware, it's just going to sit in the corner.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're going to say you want that to happen or you don't want that to happen.
No, I totally am. I am.
I need to hold your hand through the process.
I'm going to need that. But that's another podcast. All right, that's a
documentary is what that is.
We're going to get the Kickstarter started for the Nick Switches to PC documentary.
GoFundMe.
Just living with you. Like, take away everything Apple in Nick's house and like replace it with PC stuff and like just document the whole process.
I poked my eye out. the Nick Campbell PC story.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
That's sad. All right, we should get into the topic. Chad, do you want to set this one up? Do you want me to? What are you feeling?
I can try to set it up. So we're thinking about topics and whatnot, and it's something that we've talked about before, but never really did a deep dive on. And actually, you know what, Chris, why don't you set this one up? Mm.
Okay.
We're just gonna pass the buck down the line.
Wait, Chris, you say a word, and then I'll say the next word, and then Chad will say the next one, and then we'll see if we
tried that.
Go.
We tried that in the last SGSG. It actually worked well. But
that's right.
The render go round.
Okay. Yeah, Chris, good idea. Why don't you set this one up for us?
We Trevor Kerr had given us a suggestion last week, and it was a couple. It just felt like a pretty big idea, so we thought we split it up into multiple parts. And even last week, I don't think we even got close to covering all the detail for staying detached from your work and being able to execute on that. But the second part was sort of blank page thinking. Like, how do you start a project? How do you just, any creative endeavor, how do you dive into that? How do you figure it out? How do you, whatever, you're pitching a movie to Pixar. Like, how do you come up with an idea to go in and work from that? Like, it's the blue sky. The blue sky problem when you can do anything, you don't know what to do. Now, we've tackled aspects of this topic before about where we can go find specific inspiration. I think we have a whole inspiration episode. We might get into some of that stuff a little bit here, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to focus on some techniques that we might individually do to get away from blank page thinking, to get out of the blue sky scenario. So. What do you guys think?
Well said.
Yeah, I've always struggled with this. I'll just share a story more than anything. I just kind of line this up. I've struggled with this a lot about like, okay, go do something creative. Go. And you go to your machine or you go to, you know, your piece of paper and you're like, well, what creative thing? I could do anything. So I do nothing, like you said, Chris. So I've developed some ways over the years to tackle that. I know we all have. And I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page, because I know we all struggle with this too. I've just heard stories of, you know, how do I take nothing and turn it into something interesting? So do you want to go around and talk about some of the tactics that we've used over the years to kind of get out of that blank page thinking and start to move in a direction?
Totally.
Yeah. Who's going to start?
Chad's going to start.
I'm going to start. Okay, I'll start. Blank page thinking, man, it can be really scary, and I think I've even mentioned this metaphor before, but it's a really grotesque metaphor that I'm not going to repeat again, because it always like embarrasses my wife when I tell it. But so it either happens, you know, ideas either flow freely or they come out very hard, very difficult.
Don't elaborate. Everyone's arguing against it.
That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm putting it together. I see what you're going here.
You know where I'm going. All right. I'm not gonna
talk about those emoji faces again.
Yes, exactly. Those horrifying emoji faces where my kids will look like a pile of poo telling me something funny. I forget, you took me off track here. Okay, so for me, I always like those challenges because that's just how my brain is wired. My brain is wired in a very kind of strange way where I can usually freestyle some ideas and start something pretty quickly. But there are times where the ideas just don't happen. And for me, It's about respecting those waves and being able to ride them or not ride them. It's like a surfer, you know, like you're out there in the ocean, you're waiting for that idea to come, and you just got to be okay with it. Hey man, waves aren't coming today. Cool. I'm going to get out of the ocean, get back in my car and go about my day. You can't force Mother Nature to bring those waves on. You just have to be ready to ride them when they happen. So be ready for them and just take advantage of it. Now, specific techniques for embarking on a project when you don't have the luxury of saying, well, I don't feel inspired right now. I'm just not going to work. A lot of people don't have that luxury. You have to work. You have to do something. So usually what I do is I start to dive into my deep, darkest secrets. No, I'm just kidding. I dive into my inspiration folders or my pinned pages, or we talked about this before, having a repository of inspiration to draw from, so that when you see something that inspires you, you don't necessarily have to act on it in that moment, but you can like put it aside for another day. So you start to build these up over, in my case, years. And you end up with a website maybe full of links or images or however you want to do it. And then now at least you have somewhere to go where you can say, okay, well, I'm not really coming up with a cool idea today, but I had a cool idea, or at least I found something that I thought could have been cool like a year ago. So you dive into there, you start to push something out, to start to get something, just get those motors working, getting all the rust off the chain. And sometimes that can be enough to kind of like kickstart you into putting something on the screen. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah,
yeah, totally. Yeah, that I think you're describing, it's nice that you separate the like when you have time process versus the oh crap, I need to get this done. For me, I never had a create, like I don't come up with creative ideas in the way that I imagined people did. And so when I was getting started, I imagined that there were all these creative people in a circle that are like, what about this brilliant idea? And then the next person's like, what about this brilliant idea? And it wasn't until I started working in the industry when I realized the first thing that so many creative people do is go look at other cool stuff. And to me, that was almost like, well, it almost felt like it was like cheating or something. It was like, well, you're just going to go look at other people's creative things. But it really is the way, like that's how creative things happen. Like it's one creative turn plus another one, plus adding this to it, plus this equals what you put out. So what I started to realize was by watching all these brilliant creatives do what they do best is they didn't just go find one thing to like look at and be inspired by. They'd go find 20 things to be inspired by and distill it down into a brand new idea that had this built, that had all these little friends as like parents to this idea. And so that's how I kind of saw it in my head, was like, well, you got to start reaching for things that are in your life to start bouncing ideas off of. And then this book came out called Steal Like an Artist, which I recommend to everybody. Really great book by Austin Kleon. We'll put it in the show notes and everything. That basically describes this process in a much more specific way. Of Steal Like an Artist is about how to be inspired, but not by copying, right? How to make it your own. I'll just first of all recommend that book to anybody that's in the creative field at all. This has just been hugely helpful to me. And so that's like the first one, like learn that process that you do have to go find 80 different things. But when I'm really in a pinch, I wanted to share just like a really quick win for anybody out there that's like literally they have a project due tomorrow or they have to come back with three ideas. Here are like three really simple things I'll try. First thing I'll do is I'll take the concept of what I'm trying to make, like let's say it's a brand or let's say it's a logo or whatever it is, and try to like do the opposite. So just run this through your filters in your head. Take the thing that you're trying to make and do the exact opposite and write down all those ideas. Sometimes just by flipping the idea, you're going to bump into things that are kind of obvious that you can play against. The other one is just pick a shape and a color and go down that road. I've done this with 5-second projects. I've done this with personal projects. I've done this in so many ways. If I really need an idea that is somewhat creative, that's going to put me in a direction, as I say, it's going to be this one color and it's going to be this one shape, and that's all I get to use. And I'm going to go see what I could build with those things. Restricting yourself early on is a way to really get something creative. And the third thing is, I forgot, so I'm going to get back to that one. I want to let you guys talk a little bit more. Any tips like that? Or Chris, how do you come across this stuff?
Well, there's definitely a couple different ways. And I do a bunch of different creative projects all over the place. I will say, though, that the brainstorming part of any project is my favorite part. Just throwing ideas, going super crazy. Me and Chad have sat down and we've just brainstormed tutorial ideas, and then we jump onto the internet and we're just searching for imagery. And it's like, oh, this would be cool. This would be cool. Oh, this should shift this in this direction. And bouncing things off of each other. And then there's other things where it's just being with a group of other people where somebody can say anything. Like, they could say, here's this crazy idea. I was thinking about this. And you could right away in your head be like, that's a terrible idea. But you just made me think of something that would be cool that spins off of that. So the instant somebody else says anything, even if it's awful, even if it's the opposite of what you personally want to do, you will instantly get a different idea you want to throw out there. And that's going to make them think of something else differently. So getting a group together and just doing a little bit of brainstorming, I think, is so huge. And this goes for any creative project you're doing. It was just a hobby project, but me and a couple buddies were working on just tinkering around, learning some Unity and doing a video game. And it was like, okay, this is not something we're planning on publishing. Let's just do a project, throw it out. And by the time we were done sitting around for an hour or two, we had three solid ideas, all of which we could totally pursue and it would be fun. I was like, which one sounds most simple? Let's see if we can tinker with that. Me and a group of friends do Dungeons and Dragons. And when we were going to start the game, we sat down with no ideas. It's like, okay, how do we want to do this? What are different ideas? And we just started bouncing stuff off. It's like, well, what are we going to start with? It's like, well, let's have there be two continents. And it just breaks down. It goes deeper and deeper. And someone throws out this idea. Someone has this idea. A whole chunk gets thrown away. I mean, even, going back to some of the products we've made, Nick, going back to the original ideas of Transform, like, we just sat down and we'd have brainstorming sessions about it. Could do this, could do this, could do this. And, at a certain point, you get so many ideas, you don't possibly have time to pursue them. But sitting down with a group or just having one other person to start bouncing ideas off of, and something along those lines I think people can struggle with, is you don't want to say something unless it's almost like a perfectly formed idea. Like, it's almost like what you're saying. You thought that people and companies sit down, they're like, here's a brilliant idea. Here's another brilliant idea. We're just full of brilliant ideas. If you sit there waiting for an idea that you think is perfect and you've already thought through a whole bunch of avenues and you think this is really good and it's really solid, I mean, it's great to have those. But if everybody's sitting around waiting to have one of those, you might as well all be just sitting by yourself behind your desk. Just throw something out. Like, there's this one movie I really like. There's a scene in this movie and it's just so cool. If we could capture that emotion, it's like, yeah, that was great. What if it did this? And then you start throwing out ideas there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a fully formed idea. It doesn't even have to be a good idea. It just has to be something thrown out there to spark other people's imaginations.
Yeah. What you're describing is, I've sat in those meetings and I think it's like, it's about traction. It's about, you don't have to know where you're going to go, but you got to start moving, right? You got to start the engine and get the tires spinning and make sure all the gears work. And you might bump into stuff and you might not be going in the right direction when you get going. But like, if you sit there, you're never going to find like the roadmap. You're never find the little paths that you could take. And it's a kind of a cheesy saying, but like, if you wait for all the lights to be green, you'll never leave your house. And so you have to get out and start moving, whether that's brainstorming with somebody else or looking at some website that inspires you or reading a book or, just starting to throw stuff on the page too. Like, some people just want to get started with an idea by making something and just experimenting. Whatever it is, yeah, sitting there in a room by yourself is rarely where really creative ideas
out. You can get stuck in your head so bad when you're just sitting there by yourself trying to think of something. Being able to partner up with somebody else, just even for 5 minutes, it's amazing how many breakthroughs you can have instantly for cool ideas.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say that's so true. And I think that one of the things that younger creatives often do is they think they need to come to the client or come to the meeting or whatever with a fully formed idea in their head, like completely thought out in every way, shape, or form before they can pitch it to their creative director, their client, whatever. And I'll share a little bit of a secret that I learned along the way, which is sometimes it's better to have a less specific idea and pitch that as opposed to a fully fleshed out idea with all the details kind of figured out. Because here's why. If I go to a meeting, let's say that we're going to pitch a meeting internally at GSG for a project. If I go to that meeting with everything figured out the way I want it, like all every detail, let's say it's a product that we want to put out, you guys are all automatically going to feel like, okay, well, he's already got this all figured out, but I don't like this, this, and this, and I don't know, and I'm not so into it because he's kind of just like walking in with this thing, and I don't feel like I'm a part of it. But if I come in and I say, you know what? I have this idea. I want the product to do something like this and maybe something like this. And I want people to be able to use it and come away with this. What do you guys think about that? Now, automatically, I'm inviting you into the process. You're a little bit more involved. You're a little bit more likely to come around and feel like you own a little bit of my idea. And that's the goal. Like when you're pitching stuff to clients, when you're pitching stuff to your other creatives or creative directors, try to go in there with a loose idea of what you want to do and let it become something else so that everybody feels like they own a piece of it. And if you can do that, that idea will be better. It has a more likelihood of being selected to go further into production or maybe by the client or whatever. But it's all about getting people to feel like they have some sort of ownership with you and also making it a better idea. So that's just my little tip.
No, that's good. Especially if it's, like you said, for a client, having buy-in, right? Having that client buy-in, having them be a part of it. That's a big one. Now, what about if the client already has a pretty strong like vibe of what they're going for, but you kind of like, you're not sure if that's the direction to go. I don't know if that's another topic, but I know that that's also a part of it where you're like, well, I'd like to bring them what they want, but I also have this idea based on what they just said. It's almost like what Chris is saying, where you just heard their pitch and your brain goes, that's not great. But because you said that bad thing, my brain took off in a direction that's, I think is good. What's the brainstorming process on that? But also what's the protocol to bring that back to the client? Because I think that that's important.
I think there's always going to be clients that are just going to want you to execute their idea and they're not interested in a partnership. They just want someone, they want a hired hand to kind of do the work. That's fine. You know, there's plenty of jobs that I've done like that where you're just like, all right, cool. This is what you want. Great. I think you can usually tell through a couple of conversations with them how open they are to the process of maybe making it better. And as long as you always frame everything that you're trying to do a better job for them, that your real expertise is not just executing and having the hand on the mouse and all that, but it's really your hope to elevate the project. And that's really what you bring to the table. If you can convince them of that, make it more conversational and say, you know what? Yeah, we can totally do that. We can do your idea. And don't mention the fact that you think it sucks or you think it's boring or any of that. Just be like, we can totally do that. Like, that's something that, you know, would work. But what if we tried this? What do you think about, I don't know, what if we went this way? And then start to work in like why you think it's a good idea, but don't have it be too fully flushed, because you want them to be able to let them add like 5%, 10% to the idea in that conversation. So you get them on,
like, you bring the mood board and then they'll add their like,
let them fill it. Yeah. Let them fill in some of those blanks, because once you get them excited, it all comes together after that. and you can't get them excited about something unless it's a really killer idea that you walked in fully fleshed out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to get them on board. But if you can get them excited because they think they, you know, they have a little bit of ownership, they have a little bit of skin in the game, they'll be way more excited about going with your idea. And remember, it's just about getting them excited about it, because everything else is negotiable beyond that. Like, as long as you're like, they came in with that one idea and you talked them into something a little bit cooler, now that door's open just enough to get your foot in, and now you can like sort of slip in something else that's cooler, and maybe hopefully along the process of the job do even more stuff. So it's just about that first little nudge.
So I remembered my third little hack for this. Nice. I wanted to share. And I bring these up because, like I said, I didn't have a natural ability of thinking of all these great ideas. That wasn't my strong suit when it came to learning After Effects and eventually Cinema 4D. I was more concerned of like, how do I make that? I was like, let other people think about all the creative stuff to do, and then I'll just try to figure out how I can make that for them. As I got more into the creative process, I realized that I needed to be better at this. So I created, for me at least, some ways for me to be more creative and to come up with ideas that are unique without them just coming out of thin air like I thought they happened. So definitely looking at other work and doing all that stuff. But when it really, really comes down to it, the biggest one for me is simplifying. The more options I can remove from the thinking process, the less plugs my brain have to fill in, and the more it'll create a connection between two things that is unique to me at least, and I can go in a direction. So it's very similar to the one I mentioned where you just say like pick a color and a shape, but you could do this with almost anything. You could say, I'm going to read titles of books until I find something that sticks out to me. You could say, I'm going to go to the word of the day site, find a word of the day site, and the word that comes up as today's word, I need to incorporate that into the project. You can limit your color palette. You can limit the animation type. You could limit any technical structure to try to get your brain into that mode. Physical things that I literally do are like silhouettes. I'm just going to use a silhouette and some texture and create an image with that. I've done the same with words. I've done the same with colors. Anything to reduce the amount of options that I have, get me actually into a more creative space, not less. You would think it's the opposite, but by reducing the amount of things to pull from, your brain starts to make connections quicker because it doesn't have so many options. Maybe that works because of I like a more simplistic style. I like very simple objects like that. Maybe it doesn't work when you're trying to make, you know, the new Tron movie or something. But that's at least my process.
I'm always curious if there's anybody who that doesn't help. Like somebody put a comment, if being put into a box doesn't dramatically increase your creativity instantly, if you can do anything, that's when you're super stuck. And that's what you're saying. You say reduce it down to, okay, I'm going to use the color red. Instantly, you're going to start thinking of ideas. You're going to look around your room. You're going to see red things. You're going to be like, oh, red, maybe a red car. Oh, a car piece. Oh, there's going to be this animation that we're going to, like, instantly you get all these ideas. But it's like, hey, you can go, I need a 30-second spot, make something. It's what's the final thing I'm supposed to do? So, I mean, it's pick any arbitrary word, pick an emotion. Like you keep saying color, pick an emotion, pick a person, pick a time period, pick a geometric shape. Just go crazy. We have a buddy named Ethan, and he does a really cool GIF. He's doing a series of GIF animations, and he is simultaneously getting ideas for himself. He posts on Facebook and says, I need an idea. But what he always does is prompt the people he's giving that he wants an idea, but he doesn't want to put them into a blue sky type of scenario. So he'll say, give me a gross word. Give me a Thanksgiving word. Give me, and he'll just pick some like category. And then he'll get, you know, dozens of different ideas within that. And now that's given him more ideas to have. But even he knows, like right away, just asking somebody for an idea, you can't say, hey, Chad, give me an idea. I could say, hey, Chad, give me an idea for a car commercial. And instantly, you've got different directions you can go in. If I say, just give me an idea, you're going to be like, what are we talking about? So instantly put yourself in any kind of box, any kind of limitation, any kind of category, and you are instantly going to be so much more creative.
Yep. That's definitely helped me. Chad, you've worked and been creative director. You've also been parts of teams. What do you guys talk about when you're brainstorming these things? Any tricks that you guys pulled from?
I mean, not really. It really kind of varies on the project. Sometimes those large brainstorming sessions can get a little unwieldy and hard to like rein in on something that's actually executable. So I think it really depends on the group. Some people are just better working in a larger brainstorm thing. And then some people are cool just like going for a walk and coming back with five ideas. I think there's not like a magic solution for everybody. It's just about finding what works for you, for your team, for your friends, whoever you're collaborating with, figure out what works and try to go with that. In my experience, I had artists that would come to the table with ideas that were just like killer right off the bat with a few tweaks. And it was like, yeah, we could pitch that. And then there was other artists that would come with maybe a sentence or an image. And then from that, the whole group can extrapolate something out of it that's executable for that person to go back and start to figure out. So just be open to it. And I think what Chris was saying about the box is really, I think that's really what people crave, but they're too ashamed to admit that they need it. A lot of people don't want to admit that they need restrictions because they feel like that's sort of a cop out or you're not good or whatever. But honestly, you're right. People need a wall to like back yourself up against to be like, okay, I kind of know where I'm at now. Let me figure this out. And if you don't have that, some people just freeze up. They just lie. I've seen it. Like I've seen blank page assignments where people are just like staring at their screen all day, like not knowing where to go with it. And if you like, I think, Chris, you said like, if you just come up to them with a word or a thing and like, okay, do something around this. Then it's like, finally, thank God you threw me a lifeline because I was drowning in my own, like, just vacant, like, mind space. And, and it's okay. Like, sometimes the ideas flow, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you need a lifeline, sometimes you don't. Just got to be open to the process.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you got to be careful with something you had mentioned in the beginning, where there are days where you feel inspired and immediately you've got something. You're immediately off to the races. And then sometimes stuff isn't coming. But on days where like nothing is locking on, you got to be careful to not. I think if you just sit around and you're like, oh, no ideas today. And you keep thinking about it. And it's like, still, nope, no perfect ideas. So it's just not a productive day. I think that's right. That's when you need to go up to somebody and say, put me in a box. Like, give me a ceiling. Give me a color. Give me your favorite animal. I don't care. Give me something. And then you're done. Then you're going to go back and now you're going to come up with some stuff. You can't wait too long. You can't wait too long waiting for lightning to strike.
Right, right. This is the whole inspiration kind of topic, right? Like if you wait for inspiration, you're behind the 10 other people that like went after it and like practiced it. So I mean, to me, I guess I'm saying that creativity can be practiced. It's a muscle. If you try to connect things all day, like I know some friends of mine just like try to connect words in a weird way, like try to make a pun from something like that. That act of creation every day, every word that comes out of someone's mouth and you're trying to make like a little joke about it, I think ultimately makes you a more creative person because you're looking for connections. You're looking for odd ways that words and things can come together. So I do think, like if you're sitting for a week and there's nothing coming out, you may have to like go learn something, go be a part of something. And I'll add that. I just thought about that. When I learn how other people do their jobs, I come back to my own work with new ways of trying to connect things. So I pull from musicians all the time. I'll go see how a musician comes up with ideas, and they're very open about where they get, like, where they get ideas and feelings from. They're like, I wanted this, the feeling of this Steely Dan song, but I wanted this hip hop song, but I wanted it to sound more like it was on the soundtrack of, you know, Boogie Nights or whatever, right? Like, they're trying to mash these four things together to create something new. And it's always when I see it, when I remove myself from the process and watch another artist go through it, I realize like there are similarities on how this happens.
It's about filling up your queue. You know, you got to fill up your ideas are nothing more, or original ideas are nothing more than old ideas put together in new ways, in my opinion. And if you don't fill up your head with stuff, then how are you going to pull anything together? So when you're uninspired, go to an art museum, go watch a movie, go watch a tutorial, go, like you said, like learn something, whatever it is that you need to like fill up your queue with, do that, because that's going to, you're just going to start like, oh man, that one thing I saw in that movie coupled with this thing that I saw over at this street corner, like put those two things together and magic. And if you don't have enough of that fuel, then you're not, it's just gonna be really hard to come up with good ideas.
And sitting there staring blankly at your screen is not going to give you any of that fuel. You're making me think, Chad, of that really great series a couple of years ago, the Everything is a Remix.
Oh, that's such a great series.
It's so good. If you haven't watched it, I'm pretty sure they're available for free on YouTube, so we'll put a link in the notes. But it's like a 3 or 4 part series just talking about how you synthesize ideas like this. You pull from different sources. You see something, you take it, you change it, you make it your own. Effectively, there are no original ideas. It's just combining things in new and interesting ways.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good series. And it does, the one that stood out to me was the Tarantino one.
Yeah, the Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Which is like the ultimate remix.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, that was an eye-opening part of the creative process to me. And the more I try it myself, the more I realize that that's the thing. Maybe we should wrap this up, but I wanted to make sure you guys, you know, any other last minute tips on how people can get out of that white space, out of that, you know, blank page thinking. Any like someone's out there right now and they're like, yeah, okay, I could go to a museum, but dude, I need to get this done. Here's the thing. Give them their word that they need to incorporate into their next project.
Well, I mean, there's two, you're saying, how do you give somebody a category or something? We could just arbitrarily say a word, but then everybody gets the same word. So this is where you can go and look at our inspiration podcast. Maybe we should track that down and put a link in that as well. But this is where, you know, this is where you go to Pinterest. This is where you jump to your favorite music album. This is where there's, you know, dozens of different places online that you can go track different things down. One of my favorite things to do is go to a thesaurus. Just go to a digital thesaurus, type in some random word and go down a train. If you scroll, even thesaurus.com, I love that website. If you scroll down a little bit further, you start getting words that are linked, but more distantly linked. And you can just start going crazy with that. It's like, oh, that is a cool word. I'm going to do something where that word has made me think of something. Go down a Wikipedia hole where you just, like, there's so many fun games you can do in Wikipedia of like, okay, I'm going to jump to the page for elephant and let's see if I can get to Washington, D.C. via only links. And I guarantee between A and Z, getting from one to the other, you're going to come across something that's cool and fun that you weren't thinking about earlier.
Wasn't that a game? Like, I remember playing that at a studio where we were like, it was like everybody started on one Wikipedia page and they had to get to some random word, and whoever could get there first from just clicking,
just clicks,
like one,
just clicks.
And I think we
got to get to Kevin Bacon's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, like you start off some weird, like, you know, elephant, you know, Wikipedia, and then you end up having to try to get to Sherlock Holmes or something. I would say that stop looking at other motion design work to get inspired to make motion design. Challenge yourself to look at other things, fine art, photography, sculpture, film. look for the things that inspired your heroes to make what they made, because I guarantee it wasn't on Instagram and it wasn't a previous motion design piece.
Go back to the source material.
Yes, go back to the source material. Look at fine art. There's a lot of amazing fine art being done, really clever, brilliant stuff. Go find it and look at it. Get inspired. I would much rather see somebody bring to life something that was coming from that world than kind of regurgitating the same things that you see over and over again on social media.
Yeah. Now's the part of the podcast where I say ridiculous metaphors. One way I think might help some of you out there that are new to thinking in this way is to think of it like, not that you're creating a new type of music, like you need to create an entirely new art form out of what you're about to make, but you just simply need to write a song. And we can all write a song. We can all whistle a little melody, and some songs will be better than others, but we could string a couple notes together and make something out of what we've heard before. And so part of it to me is to take the pressure off yourself a little bit. Understand you're not going to create a brand new like thing that's never been seen before. You're mashing up stuff together to create a song that will have instruments and vocals and a hook and a beat to it, right? You don't need to make an avant-garde, you know, piece of never before seen a thing. So think about it as if you're like a hip hop artist and you're sampling stuff from the past. Find your samples and create your beat. Maybe the drums are from this genre and the string section is from this genre, and find those bits that you can go out and touch and pull into your own work. So first crazy analogy is think of yourself like a hip hop. Create the sampling.
And the I second one, do that.
Right? You already. Your album drops really soon, right, Jen?
You know it.
And second, you know, if MacGyver is in a room with nothing else, he is not MacGyver, right? There's nothing he could pull from. There's nothing he could build. There's nothing he can make. Also, if MacGyver's in a grocery store or if MacGyver's in a Walmart, that's really not his strength either, right? Anybody can make something if they have a whole entire grocery store. But when MacGyver is MacGyver, it's when he's in a tight situation, he's got pressure building on him, and he's only got these three things to get out of this room with. And that's where you need to put yourself to come out with a creative idea. Be MacGyver. Find your four things, put them in the room, create something new.
Always have a paperclip.
Duct tape and paperclips help. Also, a working cell phone nowadays.
That's cute.
If you really want to cheat, you know. Anyway, if there's nothing else, thank you guys, as always, for listening to the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. This is episode 77. If you want to find show notes, everything we just talked about, all the books, everything is all linked up here on YouTube down in the description. Or also, if you're listening on iTunes, we have show notes there as well. Please give us a star if you're not a star, maybe four. If we earned it, maybe five, over on iTunes. And also, if you have comments or anything, we love seeing the comments from each and every one of you that listen to this. Maybe drop in the comments down below if you're still listening something that allows you to unstick from this process. So that's what we're here for. We're all trying to help each other be better at motion design. What else can you say? Thanks, everybody, again, for listening to the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You are welcome.
Oh, thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week this week. Oh, Chad's got his thing. Go buy this book. I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.